Morgan here with Monitor, the purpose of which is to make Saturday bounce a little bit. One of the more engaging personalities on the entertainment scene will join us in a couple of minutes, Miss Miriam Makeba, who does some very enchanting things with the songs of her native South Africa. The Lopez fella first, Trini, his latest.
Find somebody twice as cute, 'cause you didn't love me anyhow. You ran around with every boy in town, and you never cared if it got me down. You had me worried, always on my guard, but you laughed at me 'cause I tried too hard. Boom, 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 gonna get along without you now. Boom, 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 gonna get along without you now. Got along without you before I met you, gonna get along without you now. Gonna find somebody twice as cute, 'cause you didn't love me anyhow. I lost my money and I lost my pride, didn't have much money but I really tried. It made you happy when you made me cry, and you broke my heart so I said goodbye. Boom, 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 gonna get along without you now.
This is the music of South Africa, sung by a young lady from Johannesburg who is heard in many parts of the world today, but not in her native country.
And that, of course, is Miriam Makeba. And will you explain the alphabet in your country?
It's called Xhosa, and you spell that X-H-O-S-A.
Is that the name of it? All right.
And in the alphabet, we use the same letters as you do in English. But for some reason or other, we pronounce some of the letters in the alphabet differently. Like the letter Q is pronounced ngo. The X is ngwe. C is ngi. R is ha. And then you have other sounds like QG, which is uh. And XG, which is t, CG, which is k. And you have many words that have the spelling of these words. And whenever you get to a Q, you have to ngo. When you get to an X, you have to ngwe.
What do you say to welcome someone in the morning, good morning, or something like that?
In Xhosa, they say molo.
Molo.
Molo. And in Zulu, they say sawubona.
And how do you say goodbye?
Hamba kahle. We don't have really goodbye. If you are leaving, you say to me, sala kahle.
Sala kahle.
Which means stay well. And I say, hamba kahle, which means go well.
Mm. Yes. Anything, what about a thank you? How do you say thank you?
In Xhosa, we say ndiyabulela. Ndiyabulela means thank. I thank you.
Well,
and in Zulu, they say ngiyabonga.
Oh, it's lovely. Just I don't see how children ever learn this. Miriam, when you record over here in this country, you have recorded some English songs,
yes,
haven't you? Are these now popular where you were from in Johannesburg? Oh, do they know what a big star you are?
Oh, yes. South Africa is quite, it's not one country that you would call underdeveloped. It's one of the most highly westernized parts of Africa, being that we've had Europeans there for more than 400 years. We learn English at a very early age, the ages
in
of
school?
6 and 7, yes.
Did you go to school?
Yes. In South Africa, for instance, almost everybody understands English and Afrikaans, which is Dutch. It's like a Dutch dialect. And that's the language of the ruling class right now.
Can you go back now to South Africa, Miriam Makeba?
No. No, I'm not allowed.
Are you not permitted back?
When I went to petition before the Special Committee on Apartheid at the United Nations, it's then that they declared that I was an enemy of the state and I shouldn't return, and at the same time they banned my recordings.
Will you now give us a parting greeting in your native tongue, please, Miriam?
Ngiyabulela gqitha, ndizawuthi kuwe, sala kahle.
Thank you, Miriam Makeba, and now this is Betty Grobley in Washington for Monitor.
Have you ever seen Miss Makeba in a club or a concert? She really gives an electrifying performance. This performance, For Baby, by the Sandpipers.
I'll walk in the rain by your side. I'll cling to the warmth of your tiny hand. I'll do anything, help you understand. I'll love you more than anybody can. And the wind will whisper your name to me. Little birds will sing along in time. The leaves will bow down when you walk by. And morning bells will chime. I'll be there when you're feeling down. Tears if you cry, I'll share with you all the happiness I found, a reflection of the love in your eyes. Whisper of the joy that is mine. The leaves will bow down when you walk by. And morning
this week, Fun City was the scene of a huge happening. Only New Yorkers think of the happening as the great tow-away. Illegally parked cars were being towed away and are still being taken off the street. I don't worry, I don't have a car. But it strikes me that the city of New Albany, Indiana, is a little friendlier. Cars with out-of-state licenses parked illegally in New Albany are ticketed, but with cards good for free hot coffee rather than traffic tickets. Welcome to New Albany, the card says. You have violated one of our traffic regulations. However, as a visitor, won't you exchange this card for a cup of coffee? And then the card lists a couple of downtown restaurants. Here in New York, we haul your car away, charge you $40. The cop says, welcome to Fun City, and punches you right in the mouth. You're on the Monitor Beacon. Earlier in the program, in a report from Rome on the drug problem over there, Irving R. Levine said that the great Italian tranquilizer is wine, and that Italy is second to France in the per capita consumption of the grape. It occurs to us that since we have a report coming up from Paris, if we can make a correlation between the large consumption of wine and the small consumption of drugs, maybe you can say of the average Frenchman that the extent of his psychedelic experience is viewing the world through rosé-colored glasses. Bonsoir, mes amis, goodbye. Here's a definite report now, a definitive report from Bernard Frizzell.
When it comes to drugs, France is in a relatively happy situation. Unlike the United States, she has no major problem of her own. There are only a matter of some hundreds of drug addicts in France. Most of these addicts got that way as a result of being treated with morphine for a painful ailment and falling under the spell of the drug as a result of overtreatment. But so far, the French are not faced with a drug problem of any proportions. French police authorities who deal with the problem are, however, alert to the potential danger. They realize that young people travel a good deal more than in the past, and that many foreign youngsters, among them Americans, come to France infected with a drug habit. They fear that French youngsters, out of curiosity for a new sensation, could catch the habit. As a result, there are official controls on the sale of tranquilizers, barbiturates, and amphetamines. To get them, a doctor's prescription is required. But these measures are preventive, since French youth has not succumbed to the tensions of modern society and sought to escape them by taking drugs. At this point, the French police, particularly the branch concerned with narcotics, is keeping an eye on the many beatniks who come here from abroad. They also watch jazz musicians, especially Americans, for they believe that these are the main possible sources of infection. But for the moment, the French, young and old, get their kicks without resorting to what is called here an artificial paradise. This is Bernard Frizzell, NBC News, Paris.
Well, according to that report, it's fairly obvious that to a French kid, he takes a trip and he hasn't even arrived. Here's some Monitor music by Edie Gorm. Monitor Sports. Jack Donahue and Lou Alcindor grew up together at Power Memorial High School in New York City. Donahue was the basketball coach. Then he moved on to Holy Cross, where he's head coach today. Alcindor became the most sought-after schoolboy in college basketball history. He eventually went to UCLA, where as a sophomore, he has led the U-Clans to the nation's number one ranking. Yet never a day goes by that Donahue doesn't think about his former pupil. A report from Monitor's Bob Gamir.
Jack, have you been surprised at all by Lou Alcindor's performance at UCLA?
No, Bob, really. Lou, I had Lou with me for 4 years, and I don't think anything he does will ever surprise me. He's a very talented young man, and I think he's going to get better as the years go by because he's going to get bigger and stronger, and certainly going to learn a lot more about basketball. But as far as his physical attributes and what he can do on a basketball court, I don't think he will ever surprise me.
Well, Jack, not only is he one of the country's leading scorers, of course, but he's had a great field goal percentage this year. When he was at high school in Powell Memorial with you, was his percentage as high as it is right now, up around 70%?
Well, right, it was. We didn't let him get it very far away from the basket, Bob. Most of the shots he got were right in close to the basket.
You're in a rather odd position at Holy Cross now, in that you also have a 6'9 boy by the name of Ron Texera, who is now a sophomore, and he was a high school All-America along with Lou Alcindor in that same year, although not nearly as famous. Do you find when you're coaching Texera that you think about Lou Alcindor at all, or can you compare the way you have to handle these two boys?
Right. Well, I certainly think of Lou Alcindor. Anytime we play a poor game, I think about Lou Alcindor. But seriously, Bob, yes, there is a lot of similarity. We have Ronnie playing in the pivot, which is the same spot that Lou did. And I think handling big men is just, they're all handled one particular way. Naturally, there are individuals and there are certain changes to be made. But basically, it's a matter of getting them aggressive, getting them to move toward the basket, building up their confidence as far as their agility goes.
Jack, when you were in high school, it was your job to handle all the recruiters that came looking for Lou Alcindor. Now you're on the other end of the stick. You're a recruiter when you go out to get ball players. Do you find it a little different on this side?
Well, it certainly is. I think that, of course, I always felt that my job as a high school coach was to take care of the boys themselves and to make sure they were placed in as good a school as I felt or as they felt and the college coaches felt they could handle. Right now, my job is to get the best basketball players available to go to Holy Cross College. And this puts us on a little different basis.
Jack, one big question, of course. Right now at Holy Cross, you're starting 4 sophomores and only 1 junior. What are the possibilities that you'll run up against Lou Alcindor in UCLA?
Well, I know we'll run up against... we have a possibility of running up against them in the Holiday Festival, December of 1968. We would like to play them next year. We're doing some work on trying to get a ball game with them, a regular season ball game with them next year, but that's, again, a little way in the future.
Do you think Jack Donahue, the college coach, could ever beat Lou Alcindor, who was, his high school ball player?
not on the basketball court, Bob. We'd like the opportunity to play against
right.
a school as good as UCLA.
Well, Jack, you did a fine job with Lou Alcindor at Powell Memorial, and you're doing a fine job at Holy Cross now, and we wish you the best of luck.
Thanks very much, Bob.
This is Bob Gamir for Monitor Sports.
By the way, on Monitor Sports next week, the Bob Hope Desert Classic from Palm Springs, California. So plan to listen.
Everyone, everywhere.
Billy Vaughn's orchestra and chorus, tune called Sweet Maria.
Out each day when I go, then before you know, time will fly before your eyes and you will never realize I'm gone. Sweet. We'll be right back.
stories, both true. First story. This is a sort of a humorous note from, of all places, Vietnam. The meteorologists who brief the pilots at a Vietnam airfield have a sign in their office which says, "This is a nonprofit organization." It's spelled P-R-O-P-H-E-T. Well, you don't expect a guffaw and that kind of stuff. Well, you hear number two. I was on vacation the last few days. I was in Puerto Rico. And I went to the racetrack because I make a great deal of money. And I had a $2 bet on the double, the daily double. I had a $4 bet. I bought two tickets crossing number five from the fifth race with number six and number seven from the sixth race. I won. Then the horse was disqualified. Then I found I'd thrown away the wrong ticket. My name is Morgan, NBC Monitor News, next.
Stay tuned for a half-hour NBC News special on the tragedy at Cape Kennedy.